Hello, and welcome to the Heavenbound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, it's Friday, and it is a special weekend. We can't tell the future, but Lord willing, this Sunday, 2 days from now, May 31st, will be the first time in 12 weeks that we have been able to gather in person with members of our church family.
Boy, we have been missing that big time. And so we look forward to that. We know it will be good. And we are thankful that the Lord's gotten us through this. And that just ties into the series we're doing, Jason.
As the storm passes by. We didn't know when we began this little series on Fridays in May exactly when this storm would continue and how long and when it would pass by. We realize in other parts of the world and even in our own community, the storm still has some fingers here and there, but we've been trying to pay attention. What can we learn from this? And we went back throughout this series to Luke chapter 8, verse 22, beginning how one day, it was just an ordinary day, Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in danger. So they went, they woke Jesus up, they said, "Master, we are perishing." He awoke. Jesus rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased. There was a calm. And then Jesus said, "We need to talk about your faith." We've drawn out a variety of different lessons from this. Life is fragile. Sometimes what we believe to be really stable is really fragile. We've had months-long reminder of that here in our own time and place. That leads us to the prayer of Moses, "Teach us to number our days." That leads us to the realization where we were this past Friday. No matter who I am, I need to keep growing. My faith needs to continue to be increasing and maturing. One of the ways we learned from James and 1 Peter that happens is through the enduring of storms. And so now in this last episode of this series, we want to talk about lessons learned.
You know, it's interesting. Jesus could have taken those 12 apostles, set them in a synagogue or along the beach, and told them to get out some pieces of paper. He had some things he wanted to tell them. And life sometimes throws you curveballs, and you got to be ready. You got to believe. And Thaddeus would probably fall asleep. Peter was probably up there looking at the birds and just, you know. But what Jesus did is he taught them. He taught them by making them experience this storm. And their eyes were open big time. And they had thoughts and fears and faith like they never had before when this is over. And some of the greatest lessons we learn are not going to be sitting in a pew in a church building. Some of our greatest lessons are going to be as we sit in the emergency room of the hospital, or we're sitting at home and we're looking at a stack of bills, or we're looking at an aged parent and we're trying to decide, is it time to take away the car or is it time to put them in assisted living? And sometimes life teaches us the greatest lessons. The principles of the Bible is what we build upon. And life lessons are only good if they're built upon the Bible. But I think for those disciples in that boat, they learned some things that they would never have learned had they been anywhere else.
Roger, at the end of our last episode, this past Friday, you brought out a couple of key points that I think make a good transition into some of these practical lessons learned. Why don't you remind us of those?
Well, you know, when we go through storms, you know, we can't stop the storm like Jesus does. But in the midst of a storm, we all have choices. And faith drives those choices. The right choices are made because we have faith. When we don't make the right choices, it's a faith issue. So we talked about choosing fellowship over isolation. So often when we're a person's in the storm, they just feel like that is the reason. That is my ticket out. That's my excuse. I'm just not going to worship for a while because I'm in the midst of a storm. There's been a death in the family and I'm just not going to show up for a while. Well, you need to be with God. You need to be with God's people. You need to be around God's word. And so choose fellowship over isolation. It's great examples as we look among us as Christians have gone through things and they've experienced things and how that has helped them. We need to choose joy over despair. And again, that attitude, that spirit is a choice. Yes, you can have a storm, but it doesn't have to be storming on the inside of you. And you can rejoice even in the midst of a storm. We need to choose prayer over worry. And as we mentioned last week in our podcast, worry doesn't accomplish anything. It's not going to help you. It's not going to strengthen you. It's not going to make your marriage stronger. It's not going to bring you closer to the Lord. What it will do is pull away from all those things. So give your problems to God. Cast your anxiety upon him is what Peter says. And then we need to choose faith over doubt. What I believe, what I know, what the Bible says. Sometimes on the sunshine day, we read these verses. But when the wind's blowing and the storm clouds are coming, we begin to wonder, are these verses true? They're always true. They never change based upon the weather.
So as I hear that list, I envision Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You find them at the beginning of the Gospels mending their nets, right? As Jesus is walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, nets need to be mended, sails need to be patched, especially after storms. And we're talking in this last episode about lessons learned. I think back to your list here, and one of the practical things I think that would be valuable for all of us. Have I been as devoted to that fellowship that you're talking about as I should have been in early March of 2020? One of the things I have heard many very mature disciples of Jesus talk about in recent weeks is how easy it had been to take for granted face-to-face, in-person fellowship. If I wasn't taking that fellowship as seriously as I should have, maybe now I've got the opportunity to do some net mending. Maybe my prayer life wasn't what it should have been. I wasn't devoted to prayer the way that disciples of Jesus are called. Maybe I wasn't in God's word as often as I should. And as a result, I was having trouble choosing joy. What I like about your list is it gives us some practical things to point out as we begin to get to shore after this storm and maybe begin mending the nets of our faith, it ought to lead us to some self-evaluation.
When Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount, he told the story, the parable of the wise man and foolish man. We know the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man upon the sand. And there were a lot of differences. One heard and did, one only heard. One was on sand, one was on rock. One house stood, one house fell. Those are the differences. But there's a common thread to both of them, and they both had storms. They both had rain, they both had wind, and the water rose. And what's interesting about that is the wise man who built his house upon the rock, he didn't wait till he had one hand against the door and another hand with a bucket of water trying to bail, and then his building's found. It's too late. Once a storm comes, it's too late to build that foundation. So what we do in the good times, what we do when we have health, what we do when there's sunshine in our life, those are the days to start putting some bricks down. Be reading my Bible, be listening to stuff, going to my Bible classes and learning and growing and getting strong, because when the storm comes, they will come. Then I have something to stand upon.
You talk about faith over doubt. If I wait until the next storm comes to start taking faith seriously, it's going to be awfully hard. It's like trying to bail out, you know, one bucket of water as an entire wave just keeps coming in, right? And so what about this self-evaluation? Has this storm made me more hungry for the Word of God? Has this storm made me more thirsty for fellowship, more devoted to prayer, more intent on finding joy even in the midst of the storm? That's the sort of growth we noted last Friday that can come from these various trials.
You know, in the book of Hebrews in chapter 6, we find this wonderful passage in verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. And that's what's going to get us through this storm, the hope. And a hope that is sure in a world that's unsure. So, you know, what's going to happen next? Well, we don't know. What's going to happen tomorrow? We don't know. But God is already in tomorrow. He knows. And so our anchor, an anchor that holds us, Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be you steadfast, immovable. I mean, you get this idea of this big old linebacker, and this kid comes up and he shoves him and he doesn't even move. He is so strong. That's the idea here. And so our faith, based upon Jesus, should be getting stronger and stronger. The storm passes, have I become any better? Storm passes, I look back. What lessons have I learned? Storm passes, how have I made the evaluation? Was I a good tool for God? Did I reach out for other people? Would I complain a lot? Was I on Facebook and saying things I shouldn't have said? How did I do when I look back over the storm?
I love how Hebrews 6 describes that hope as an anchor of the soul. Maybe my physical body took a beating from this virus, or it takes a beating from cancer, or just the natural aging and limitations of life in a physical body. But that can't take away the anchor of my soul. You mentioned maybe the loss of a job, maybe a house fire, maybe, you know, an unexpected move across the country that I never would have guessed that I had to make. All of those things can shake our outward circumstances. They can rattle our emotions. But this hope is an anchor of the soul. And that's what we need. We can't reverse the aging of our bodies. There are outward circumstances we can't always change. We can't control the people around us. But we need an anchor to keep our souls sure and steadfast.
You know, I wonder about those apostles there in Luke chapter 8. You know, they reached the shore, and as you follow it through Mark's account or Luke's account, multiple miracles happen right after this, just rapid fire. But I wonder, later on down the road, a few years pass, they're crossing that sea again, and the clouds start building. And I wonder if they looked at it just a little bit different this time. You know, they could look back, and they could remember. We got through this storm. That storm was scary, and we were frightened, and we thought we were going to die, but we didn't, and the Lord has helped us. And I think that memory, that precious memory in our hearts of how God was there for us, God answered our prayers. We got through this. We may be a little bit windblown. We may be a little bit wet from the waves, but you know what? We got through this. And our getting through this not only strengthens ourselves, but we become an anchor for other people. The little ones around us, in our house, that look up to us, they see how we handle this. They see whether we're griping and complaining and yada, 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 or they see, okay, Mom and Dad are just more and more spiritual. They just connecting all the time, as they should be. We become the anchor for those younger in faith. There will be another storm someday, and other people who are new in faith will be looking to us. I was talking to somebody a while back about another congregation, and they had opened up just recently, started services. And he said, the amazing thing is the young families didn't come. It was all the older members. And we'd think in this pandemic, it's the older members who are high risk. But the older members had weathered storms, and they were ready to worship again. Sometimes those in young in faith have never gone through a storm, and they were uncertain. And so getting through this not only helps you, but it's going to help other people.
And as we project ourselves, if the Lord wills, into the future, years, decades from now, you know, I look back at my grandparents on my mother's side, and I've heard my grandfather in the past talk about watching and knowing that his father, during the Great Depression, on multiple occasions went to bed without eating supper. He always made sure that his children had food, but my grandfather remembers times when his father went to bed without supper, and how that sort of a trial shapes you and makes you stronger, helps you endure into the future. You think about, 50 years ago, some great men and women of faith who go through brotherhood storms, standing for the pattern of the authority of Scripture. And they are battles that I've only read about, but I look at the faith and the resolve and the respect for God's authority that those men and women have had and modeled, and how that has helped to shape my generation. There are storms that have come over and over again, and you can see as life unfolds how going through that storm helped me approach the next one. What will we look back on years, decades from now, that this storm in the spring of 2020 helped us know, helped us understand, helped us grow?
And really, it comes down to two things. The storm will either make us bitter, mm-hmm. or make us better.
Yeah.
And when we become bitter, everything around us becomes bitter. We become our own storm. And you talk to some people and you hear that. They've had some problems in their life. There's been some trials and challenges, and it has ruined them. They have become bitter about those things. You see other people have gone through similar things, but they never talk about it. They've learned some lessons. They moved on. They got stronger in Jesus, and they became better. So this storm is going to shape our attitudes. It's going to make us complain about every little thing in life. I go to the store, and there's X's on the floor, and there I go. Or I'm going to say, you know what? It's okay. It's okay. And it's going to shape my spirit, and it's going to shape the attitude of my children as they grow up. My father was one who grew up in the Depression, and they were poor, poor as they could be. But you know what? He didn't know that. They grew their own food, and they went to worship, and they had the Lord. And looking back, I mean, he wouldn't want to go back to those days. It was tough days. But you know what? He wasn't alone. There was a lot of people in those things. And what got them through that was the Lord and their faith. And so this is where we're at. This storm's going to pass. The sky's going to open up. Sun's going to come out again. And what has it done to us? Have we become bitter, or have we become better?
One thing that I would encourage our younger listeners to really think about doing is spending intentional time with older, more experienced, seasoned brothers and sisters in Christ. There is just a world of knowledge and experience, life lessons. And just because someone is further down the road of life than me, doesn't mean that there's not a whole lot that I can't learn from those who've seen one storm come, one storm go, and they're stronger because of it.
You know, one of the things the Bible doesn't do, because it's not its intention. The intention is to teach us who Jesus is and get us to heaven. But we intersect with these stories, and my heart would just love to follow these stories. You know, I just wish there was pages and pages more of these stories, you know, but that's not the intention. But I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and how they stood. And how they stood before that king, and they were not afraid. And they went into that fire not knowing that they're going to come out. I mean, they didn't know, but that wasn't going to change who they were. I would love to see them 20 years later and what that had done for them and how strong they were because of that. I'd like to see the story of some of these apostles we talked about in this boat and how years later they would talk about this, but not with fear anymore in our voices, but with a voice of confidence and faith that the Lord got us through this. The Lord was with us. The Lord helped us. Those are the things I think will make a difference for us. I really believe that we're going to worship better than we've ever worshiped before. I really believe that when amen is said, we're not going to be in a hurry to get away from each other. I think we're really going to appreciate the presence of each other. I think we're going to tolerate more than what we have before, not in the sense of tolerating wrong, but little things that just kind of get under our nerves sometimes. I think that's not going to bother us some more. We're going to rejoice to hear the kids crying in church. Why? Because we miss the voices of that. I know in my house, my wife just loves to be around other people who can sing so she can hear someone other than me sing. It's been pitiful, just me and her singing, because she can sing and I can. And I know she's looking forward to other voices. Those are things we take for granted. But now I don't think we will. And you talk to people of that last generation who went through a depression and how they look at life different than we do today. We throw away so many things that still work because, you know what, I can always buy another one. You know, it's not broken, but I don't want it. I just throw stuff away. They tend to be more pack rats, okay, hoarders a little bit. Why? Because they learn some lessons, and life can just change. And so we will be the same way spiritually, I believe. I believe it's going to make a huge impact upon us in a positive way if we allow that.
The goal is more than surviving the storm, more than enduring, it's growing in spite of the storm. Growing maybe because of the storm. Great things to think about. Fellowship over isolation, joy over despair, prayer over worry, faith over doubt. Roger, any closing thoughts for the day?
You know, one of the other lessons I think we're going to see as a congregation, we're going to see the incredible work of our shepherds. You know, sometimes a congregation may wonder what they do all the time. And, you know, just, you know, it's like they don't do that much, some people think. But we know, Jason and I know personally, we've been in long, long, long conversations with them. And they have just wrestled and toiled about what's the right thing to do. When should we get back? And how should we get back? And all these, and what it brings is just a grand appreciation for the work that they do. And to our Charlestown Road family, if you haven't given a shout out to our shepherds, you need to do that. You need to drop them a line, give them a call and just say, really appreciate how you've tried to keep us safe, how you try to keep us together, and how you try to do what God wants us to do.
Amen. Amen. Roger, thanks for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that this episode and this series has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey, even in the midst of the storm. If it's been a little while since you shared these resources, we would love if you would take the time to do that. If you've never taken the time on Google or Apple Podcasts to rate and review the podcast, that is one practical way that you can help us continue to get the message out. Thanks for being an encouragement to us. Always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you are heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.